chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Falkirk away, ole ole! Falkirk away, ole ole! Falkirk away! Falkirk away, Falkirk away, ole ole. Yes, that was the song belting out at Fir Park as the Bairns managed another 3 points on the road, and it was a complete and utter definition of a game of two halves. We will get into talking about the Motherwell game. It is Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. The Ginger God of Pod is on holiday. If you're watching YouTube, you will see the man that I've got beside me. He is the voice of Falkirk TV. He is Josh Heggie. See, I've tried to make it rhyme there, Josh.
There we go. How are you doing? Good to be back.
Good, mate. I'm good, mate. We missed your dulcet tones on FTV. You were in a wedding in Arran, is that right?
Yeah, it was my uncle, David, huge Falkirk fan, his wedding. So, congratulations.
I'll give him a shout out then. You can give him a shout out on the podcast. I'm sure your uncle David listens to the podcast.
Absolutely does. So, David and Melanie, congratulations. And great celebrations. Huge Falkirk contingent in Arran at the weekend. So,
how did that work? Because presumably you were watching the game. Did you get that sweet spot like Ross had a couple of weeks ago when all the photos were getting taken, so everyone was just around a laptop watching the game on FTV?
So it was ceremony at 2 o'clock, finished by 2:45. So pictures and that were getting done, and you know the phone was out, and every 2 minutes you get the shout for David saying, "What's the score? What's the score?"
Superb. And we'll talk about the game in much detail in a bit. And it was Drew Barton and Aidan Nesbitt on comms in your absence.
Yeah, Drew picking up the pieces, and Aidan Nesbitt coming on, and he's giving me injury update at the start. So he's really missing being out there.
How far away is he, Josh?
Couldn't possibly say, because the physio, Cammy, would be the final say in that.
Yeah, all right, okay. So he did, and on Falkirk TV, didn't go into that much detail then?
No.
But you know I'll find out from you a bit later on. Thanks for coming on and helping me out this week, Josh. Ross Wayne gets his credit card absolutely ruined at Centre Parks. My God. Good luck. Godspeed. I'm glad we've got sponsors on this podcast. That's all I'll say. Remember, talking of sponsors, Behind the Wall, it's happening. 29th of November, Falkirk Daft Live 6. It's our big Christmas party ahead of the party season. If you haven't booked your Christmas party yet, we say there's a handful of tickets. I'll tell you right now, there's 29 tickets left at the last check. Let's just check just now, Josh. I've not seen your name down for this, Josh. This is quite disappointing. Right, no.
Yeah, Drew. Mine, so I'll be there.
Drew, right, there you go. Okay. Well done to, I have to shout out to Revive Beauty Glasgow. They bought tickets. So fantastic, they're the last people to buy tickets, so get your tickets now, and we can exclusively reveal, not only I've got a very special guest on the evening, and as it's Christmas, I'm sure you can guess who that is. Not only do we have a special guest, we also have Brian Rice, former Ginger God, on the wing, and also assistant manager. He's going to have some amazing stories, and we'll have to ask him about Brian Clough as well. Can't wait to hear what Rice has got to say on that. And I can exclusively reveal with a drum roll right now, joining Brian Rice on stage at Behind the Wall on the 29th of November, the one, the only, a man that played over 10 years for Falkirk in two occasions. Can you guess who it is, Josh? From those clues?
Mark Kerr.
It is Scott McKenzie. Scott McKenzie, i.e. Bobag. As he's apparently affectionately known as, Scott McKenzie will be joining Ricey on stage. The two of them obviously played together, and damn, they just missed each other on the managerial side of things. But I'm really looking forward to the chat. Scott's a great guy and he's got some brilliant stories. So Scott McKenzie, Brian Rice are going to be on stage at Behind the Wall. So get your tickets if you haven't got them. 29th of November, it's all happening. And just what we're talking about Behind the Wall, it's the 40th birthday celebrations, and that is at the end of the month. And there's loads of stuff going on. Alan Bissett, do you know who Alan Bissett is? He's a very famous Falkirk author. I'm educating you here today, Josh. Alan Bissett, he did the Boy Racers, Pac-Man, Fantastic Adam Sparks. One of Falkirk's sons, he's a Rangers supporter, right? But we'll let him off of that. But he's going to be doing a night in there on the 30th when Billy met Alistair. I've seen him doing the tour for that. So he's in there on the 30th to kick off the birthday weekend. And there's loads of other stuff going on in the birthday weekend. Before that, though, you've got the James Oliver Band in there on the 25th. And look, I'm just digging out what's going on because there's loads of offers and stuff going on the birthday weekend. Brian Flynn of Behind the Wall fame messaged me earlier on. So you've got on the week, which the weekend of actually the 40th is kind of 31st right through that whole weekend. On the Thursday till the Sunday the 2nd, they've got anniversary drinks offers and 2-for-1 chicken between the sheets. So get yourself down for that. Dirty Martinis are in there on the Friday. Crash Kid and Drum Room are in there on a Saturday. And then on the Sunday, it's a Sunday social retro DJ day. So from 2 o'clock, you're going to be like behind the wall. You're going to have all the 2-for-1 drinks on the go, chicken between the sheets on the go, and you're going to get DJs right through the day at behind the wall as they celebrate their 40th birthday. And as we say, it's one of the best pubs in Falkirk, you know. And of course, the Falkirk Death Venom is on sale. They've still got spaces for the Celtic game, which is £10 return, plus you get that free pint carling on your return. And they've also got spaces for Dundee at Home as well, and that's £5, and the same offer applies with a pint carling. And every Wednesday, George, do you like a pub quiz?
Love a quiz.
Well, let's get a team together and get down, because I have a funny feeling me and you could queer up, because you take the youth level, I take the old level, you know, we'll queen up. It's every Wednesday, 8 to 10, speed quizzing. And you know what the great thing about speed quizzing is, Josh? There's none of this cheating, because mobile phones have ruined the art of the pub quiz as we know it. Back in my day, Josh, let me tell you, it was pen and paper and just your knowledge. Now, none of that. So,
that team going.
Yeah, you can't beat a pub quiz. So get yourself down there on a Wednesday, and you get a free pizza when you buy a pint of carling there as well. No bad. So get down on a Wednesday, 8 to 10, behind the wall for the quiz, and you can't cheat at it, which is even better. Right, let's do Birthday Corner then, shall we? I don't know what's happened in October. There just must be loads of shagging going on at the start of a year, because there's loads of birthdays right now, so we have to go. I've got a long list here, right? So first of all, I've got to do this one first of all, and it's happy birthday to Katie, who's turning 16 next Sunday, and that's from your dad Chris, your mum Harris, and of course Auntie Jo as well. So happy birthday, Katie. Katie sits about 5 or 6 down from me in my row, so happy birthday, Katie. I hope your dad doesn't embarrass you with this mention. And I have to put out, actually talking of Auntie Jo, Auntie Jo lost her Falkirk tartan scarf at the game yesterday. She thinks she might have left it in the toilet. So if anyone picked up a Falkirk tartan scarf from the ladies at the weekend, please DM me, because it's got nostalgic value for Joe. So there. Right, Carol, it's a happy 60th birthday to you. She's on the 22nd of November. She's in Lanzarote just now. Hurry for some, eh? Can I hide money around here? So that's love and best wishes from fellow Bairns Malcolm, Sarah, Scott, and grandson Theo, and also Rangers Daft Sandy. Boo. Happy birthday to Kieran, the capo of the Ultras, 22 on the 22nd of October. That's from his dad, Eddie, and of course, the Ultras family. So happy birthday to Kieran, top, top lad. And it continues. Can you bless my school days friend and lifelong Bairns, Joe Lamont Fay Banknock, a happy 58th birthday on the 21st, and that's from Grant. And can I get a birthday shout out from Murray Rowe, who turns 14 on the 21st of October. He'll be cheering on the Bairns from sunny Morocco next weekend whilst on holiday. Where did all this money in Falkirk suddenly come from? Bloody hell, Lanzarote, Morocco. Centre Parks. And this is the claim to fame, Josh, right here. His great-great-grandfather, James McMillan, won the Scottish Cup with the Bairns in 1913.
It's a great claim to fame.
That is the best claim to fame. That's from Stephen. So thanks very much and happy birthday, Murray. Happy 54th to Gary Robb on the 20th of October. That's from Cara and Ella. And I've got another one that's just dropped in here just now from Dougie Blakeway. It said, could we wish a happy birthday to Andy Blakeway, 57, on Tuesday the 21st. All the best from Dougie and the family. Jesus, what's going on? Right, so let's work this back. So 9 months. So that would be that'd be January. Just people just skint. Like after
else to do.
After Christmas, nothing else to do. So you know why not? So this is my theory of why we've got all these October birthdays. Personally, I have to say happy birthday to Karen Taylor because poor Karen, no one mentioned that it was Karen's birthday on Birthday Corner. She was out. She was out celebrating with some Falkirk Daft Venoms at the weekend, and no one put a mention in for poor Karen Taylor. And then she goes, she says to say, I didn't mention it was David McCracken's birthday. I mentioned it was Andy Rogers' birthday in last Birthday Corner. So she's absolutely changing the mistake on that. She's also given me, on Saturday, it was the McGinn Derby. So obviously Paul McGinn was on the park, Steve McGinn was in the dugout, and it was John McGinn's birthday on Saturday as well. So there we go. It was all about the McGinns. So there we go. So thanks for that good fact from Karen there. She's now employed as a researcher on happy birthday since no one wished Karen a happy birthday. Right, I think that's this done. Do you want to know some Falkirk birthdays though, Josh?
Let's go for it.
Do you remember Taylor Morgan?
Oh, we got him on loan from some Swedish club?
Yes, correct. And the one thing you will say about Taylor Morgan is he played in the Scottish Cup final for Falkirk in 2015, 16.
And he was totally hopeless.
Yes, and he was completely hopeless. Because remember, it was that whole thing, is Rory Loy going to play it or are we going to be stuck with Taylor Morgan up front? And Rory Loy did play, but he was absolutely shite on the day. But yeah, Taylor Morgan came off the bench in the 95th minute.
I think there was, the story was, it was his tailbone that Loy had done something there, and he couldn't run. He took some sort of injection to try and play through it. Didn't it work?
No, I remember it well. And happy birthday, a couple of boys that are usually you can see. Well, Peter Godfrey, 68, on the 22nd of October, and Stuart Burgess. These are players before your time, Josh. But Stuart Burgess, a lot of Bairns fans will remember Stuart fondly, as will do Peter as well. So they're 68 and 63 on the 22nd of October. So there you have it. Keep your entries coming in for the F Factor. We've got a good few, so thank you very much for Stuart McDonald, Fraser Seddon, and the one and only Brian Flynn from behind the wall, who was clearly steaming on Friday night and sent us a voice note of him redoing the Falkirk Daft theme tune at the end of the show. So we'll embarrass all those people. Well, we're not embarrassed, because they're great songs that these guys have put together. We'll put them out next week when Ross is back so we can judge them. And remember, if you want to be at Behind the Wall for the F Factor, we're at the finals, all you need to do is send us a song of like your favourite Falkirk player. We'll play it out on the podcast. We'll have a final three and they'll go through to boot camp on Falkirk Daft Live 6 and we'll judge on the night who has the best song. And we'll figure out some sort of prize for that as well. Maybe a recording contract, who knows? But we'll get that sorted. So any songs, because I do feel, Josh, we're...
What's that? Playing the fan zone.
Great idea. I do feel we're missing some major songs for players. We've had... Brian Graham's still got a song. There's several players out on the park that don't have songs because we've got a lot of new signings. So... let's look into that and hopefully we'll get some songs for them for the F Factor. Right before we get into the game, club news. Flynn McCaffrey is parted as on loan. Young Flynn has went out to join the Shire on loan. He was recalled from his spell at Bowness last month. So he's now out to the Shire, which is deemed a more suitable move. I don't know what that means. Does that mean that Bowness were shite and they've just decided to put him at the Shire? I don't know.
Even that, he wasn't getting off game time.
True that. So good luck to Flynn out at the Shire. The Shire, I play sevens on a Monday night, and the Shire are always training before us, so keep an eye out for Flynn to see if he's there. And by the way, what a massive result for the Falkirk women today. They beat Forfar Farmington 3-1, which means they're still undefeated and well at the top. I think they might be 9 points clear, you know. I'm just going to quickly check the table for the Falkirk women. But they had a massive one. So that was a top-of-the-table clash today in the SWF Championship. And they are flying at the moment, the Falkirk women, Josh.
No, that's excellent. And I think the last few years they've really started to build something, foundation really starting to, and it's a lot of the, similar to the men's team, where it's a lot of the same players that have kind of come through the last few seasons, and they're really strolling this season.
Oh, they're absolutely flying. So delighted to see that. I didn't get down to the game myself today, but no, brilliant. Horrible conditions to play it in as well. And the women are absolutely flying at the moment. So well done to the girls. Couple of goals. Doc got a goal. The other goal was got by Barry Monroe. And it was another goal from, was it Gemma Mason, I think, got the other one today. Just checking my sources. And when I say sources, I'm checking Twitter. It was not Gemma, it was Bryony Ross who got the other goal. So well done to all the girls. Brilliant result. And they're flying, hopefully bringing back the championship this season. That'd be great. So there we go. Right, let's talk about Motherwell now. Let's do that, Josh, and we're going to do that right now. I'm all over the place tonight. Here we go. There's one change from the Rangers game as Leon McCann went out of the team. This was kind of hinted at by John McGlynn in his kind of preview. Any behind the scenes? What's the chat with Leon, Josh?
So I saw him in training on Tuesday because I was in with Ben doing some content for TikTok, and he was kind of training then. So it must have been something after that. I know reports on Pine Bovril say that Leon picked up a knock in a bounce game in the international break against Dunfermline. So I don't know if there was a knock there and it's been aggravated in training, but there's nothing I've heard on. But it was McGlynn says in his interview that it was sustained on Friday, so it would have been a kind of last minute thing.
It was Sam Hart that came in for Leon. We'll get to that as we get into the game, but Sam Hart, obviously left back by trade. Though he didn't have the greatest of games, he got his arse ripped out for most of the first half. Poor Sam on his debut for Falkirk. But it's Sam that came in. Was that the obvious one, I'm guessing, Josh?
I think so. We knew Sam Hart when he was signed. He was the left-sided defender, left back or left centre half, and a three was kind of what the chat was about him. Obviously came in thrown in the deep end against Hearts at right centre half,
He
but
was brilliant, by the
that
way, against Hearts. He was outstanding when he came on against Hearts.
he had a good introduction there, but as you say, I mean for me he had the toughest one of the toughest tasks in the team, which was he had Massanicy on that side, who is an absolute baller. And you also having had the concussion protocol, which I think you're not allowed to train for 10 days or no contact training, so not allowed to use the ball. So it was a lot of running work, but just a lack of sharpness with having that protocol in place.
I mean, to be fair though, it wasn't just Sam Hart that was off it. Let's talk about that first half. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. It felt like Hearts all over again, just in terms of how dominated we were in that first half. That, for me, is one of the worst Falkirk performances. I mean, we saw Hearts, but I guess Hearts are leap years ahead of us. We've heard about the second coming of the Brazil 70 team with Motherwell, the Galacticos of Lanarkshire. But I mean, we gave them the opportunity to just play around us, Josh. That first half, Jesus Christ.
It was a strange start because I felt inside the first 5 minutes was whenever Motherwell attacked, as it was really synchronized, and then when we had the ball, we'd create a chance, but it was kind of a half chance, and then Motherwell had sustained possession, and it maybe two or three attacks, and then we'd have like a half chance, but it and then the more the half grew on, it just became Motherwell attack after Motherwell attack, and I felt like the press just wasn't coordinated. You'd have
It was
maybe
strange. It was strange.
some players out and then other players holding positions, and that just opened up pockets. And one of the better players in the Motherwell team, I think it's Just, and kind of that pocket just was picking passes left, right, and centre. And to be honest, they probably should have had a lot more than what they got in the first half.
I mean, it was almost like you talk about the press here. I kind of noticed it was almost like a what we call in basketball half court press, or it was like half pitch press, where we're just sitting back and letting them come into our half and not going full on press. But then they kind of switched that about a wee bit, and it was kind of a bit all over the place. And certainly, you know, they were just passing around our midfield. Our midfield did not know what was going on in that half. They're, you know, I don't think Ethan Williams touched the ball in that half. You know, Spencer and Dylan Tate were just like chasing shadows for most of it as well. And I mean, the goal came right side, you know, just basically walked through midfield and just basically fired it beyond Scott Brain. Luckily, however, and I could see why Jens Bertelsaker was quite annoyed that this goal was rolled out, because looking back on it in VAR, Brad Spencer didn't look like he was touched much in the build up to the goal.
No, and I think we've got to be honest as fans that if that had been the other way and like Ethan Williams had ran through and scored that goal and it got this loud, we'd be absolutely fuming. Yeah. It's a contact sport. There's not too much in it, but thankfully, don't know who was on VAR this week, but they did us a solid.
No, was it Greg Aitken or was it Gavin Duncan? I know Stephen McLean was the manager. I'll dig into that fact in a minute, because they certainly did us a solid in that. But the problem was, and I turned to the guys I was with at the time, and I was like, we've got to learn from that. We've got to dig in. And yet, we didn't learn from that, and 4 minutes later, kind of similar situation where we're just letting Maswanisi, who you've already pointed out is one of their top players, and he's just, like, again, it's so easy. So easy. He's got so much time and space in the box, and he just curls one in past Bain, who had no chance.
I don't think the problem actually lies with there, because I think the ball coming into him, the kind of build-up beforehand, there was too much time and space at the edge of the box to pick some passes. When the ball comes to Maswanisi, there is an overlap coming. If Sam Hart commits to block the shot, the fullback just gets slipped in. So he kind of has, Sam Hart has to kind of cover two players, and that's when Maswanisi just cuts inside and has the second to place his shot. But you've got to credit the finish as well. It's nothing Bain can do about that one.
No, absolutely nothing. Nothing Bain had to do, in fact, really, because apart from pick the ball out of the net, really, because like when you look at the XG at the end of the first half, surprisingly, Falkirk had a better XG, and it was all due to Kyrie Wilson's chance, which he's blazed over. He should have been doing better than that, though, eh?
Yes, it's an awkward one. It's a really good work. Calvin Miller can opens up his body, and that's, I think, one of Calvin's best performances of the season. First half, he looked like he was really involved getting past his defender.
I mean, there was very few people I was giving pass marks to in that first half, and I think Calvin one was certainly one I wasn't giving pass marks to.
I think it was one of his better games. He was the only player for me that was actually getting crosses into the box, and he was taking on his man, and he managed to rip one in, and Wilson, it just takes a bounce before he can get onto it. It's a shame. A couple of yards further inside, and he probably would have been able to get a good volley on that.
Yeah, I was really, I thought when you were saying about Miller, I actually thought Wilson was okay in that first half, and he was one of the few players, you know, he had that wee kind of jaunt and run when he ran forward, and he certainly got pace to burn.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, it's a different perspective seeing it on from Falkirk TV than being at the game, so obviously he was on the other side of the pitch, so
yeah,
maybe it's different vantage point.
But like the first half was, I mean, Motherwell should have and could have been outside. They just, what I think Motherwell, and I think this is a complaint generally with Motherwell supporters, is they're just a bit toothless, and even though they've got all this pretty passing football, and by the way, they were exceptional at passing that ball about in that first half, they just don't seem to have the finishing at the end of it.
Yeah, there was one chance in particular. Saeed gets the ball just at the edge of the box, and he skies it over the bar, and it was a really good build-up play, and if he can just get it on target at least, because there was a lot of the times Motherwell, just great play, and it comes to that chance, and it's not even testing the goalkeeper. And there was some complaints that we were a bit like that last season.
Yeah,
where a lot of good work in the build-up, and then just lacking the clinical finish. And I think Motherwell were very much the story of that. But got to shout out their left back Longolo had a great game, and I think Keelan Adams as well. He learned after the first half.
Oh, Keelan Adams in the first half had an absolute nightmare in the first half. Keelan was all over the place that first half. I mean, but I'm saying that though, there's about five or six players at halftime. You went, Jesus, you could change that whole team and that whole system, because Hart, Adams. In fairness, I don't think Henderson and Nielsen were actually probably one of a few pass marks in that team in the first half.
Excellent, especially not just in his defending, but there's a lot of times he got the ball in tight situations and just made some good decisions. And sometimes that decision was, let's just get this as far away from this box as we can.
Good decision, but I know Brad Spencer and Dylan Tate, that whole first half just passed it. That was where the problem lay, was when midfield, because we're just getting, it was just seemed that there was extra man in midfield every single time. And like I say, Spencer and Tate were absolutely chasing shadows. McKeever and Williams didn't have anything to operate off of in that first half at all, really. So, you know, getting in at 1-0 in the first half, was like, geez, thank God for that.
Yeah, there's been a few times this season where McKeever, I think, has been a wee bit hard done to, where he wins his battles, but then he doesn't have any support.
Yeah.
And but you can actually see there was one towards the end of the first half, one time where, you know, McKeever actually comes really, really deep and gets the ball and then tries to play one up the line for Carell. But yeah, a wee bit isolated in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely. But John managed to get them in. And by the way, shout out to John McGlynn's glow up continues. Unbelievable. Wee three-quarter length zip, looking the part. You know, he's got Stone Island, he's getting the badge in. Like, it's outstanding stuff. I don't know if he's got Kwan's been doing, like, a tour of, like, Scottish football clubs for some sort of new TV series, or if it's Mrs. McGlynn just offering some sage fashion advice. Or I do believe Stephen McGinn might be involved in the glow up, but he's looking sensational, Josh.
Yeah, it was actually, you saw the funny sides midweek, and I read in some news article that he was saying that he's got a, was it half zip, quarter zip, full zip, he's got the lot.
Looking the part, Mr. McGlynn, I have to say. But yeah, you looked at the bench and you thought, oh my God, there'd been several changes I would have made. But I think probably, I don't know if Sam Hart, if it was, like, because he went down. So I don't know if it was an injury or if he just went, this guy's having an absolute nightmare against Masmanisi. But I suspect it was maybe the former rather than the latter. Because as you said, if it's concussion protocol, he hadn't trained and he was getting his arse handed to him every time it went down that right-hand side. One thing that Ross actually said to me at the game is a couple of Port Vale fans had said this about Sam Hart, is if he's having a terrible game, he'll go off injured. But I don't think I wouldn't suspect it's that.
You took a heavy one at about the 40-minute mark. So yeah, it was maybe a case of running it off and then not taking any chances. Because if you're playing at 75% your ability due to just an injury and you've got Masmanisi on you, you're as well just getting someone competent to come on. And it's not as if we were severely short when you've got someone like Lissa on the bench to come on and do a job.
And what a job he did. Philippe Lissa came off the bench. Now, obviously, a right foot he put in, you could tell that instantly when he was cutting in on his right foot just about every time. But he set the tone straight away with that run down the left and just got to the box and got just a wee dip of the shoulders and cut the ball back, which Kyle just missed out on. But I thought he, when he came on, really set the tone, Josh.
Yeah, just injected a bit of energy, a bit of pace into the team, and a wee bit of belief as well. He wins his tackle, and then he just follows up on the ball, quickest to react, lovely give and go into the channel. And again, I think the defenders are expecting him to cut inside, and that's when he shifts it back on his left and pulls it back. And Carell's unlucky. I don't think he realises there's a man behind him. It, again, just inches away, because it looked like it was about to be a tap-in.
I know, it was brilliant from Lisa. And he had went on and had a really good half. And, you know, it was just night and day. It was absolutely night and day. We're suddenly at it. We're pushing up on them. The press is good. We're winning balls in midfield. Dylan Tate, I don't know what happened, and Brad Spencer suddenly decide to wake up. And just, they were outstanding in that second half, the both of them, you know, in terms of, you know, controlling that midfield for Falkirk. And the goal came, and we deserved it. Absolutely, with that start, we deserved it. You know, great from Ethan Williams, ball in for him. McKeever, great awareness to see Calvin Miller just sitting in space, and it was a great assist from McKeever to knock it down. I did think it was offside, but then obviously, you know, VAR's proved otherwise, and it was a great finish through the keeper's leg from Calvin Miller.
Absolutely, and I think that would do his confidence world a good, Calvin getting his goal. Ross McKeever with that touch, we see that so often from him.
Yeah.
Just ball coming in and just putting on a plate. I think he was unlucky. He did the same against Aberdeen for Brad Spencer, get a chance away, and I think it was a good save. And he's done it every two or three games, that ball comes in, he just cushions it onto a player's foot to finish. So, yeah. Great assist from the big man.
Yeah, no, he's so vital to the team, you know, and when he's on it, Ross, and, you know, when he gets the service, he's so good at holding it up. And as I've said before, he's not exactly the biggest of strikers, do you know what I mean? He's just good at what he does, and with his back to goal, he's really, really good. You know, and I suspect when you look at analytics and all that sort of stuff, Ross really shows up well when it comes to these kind of stats, because he just does so much in terms of that, and that's why he gets his place in the team every week. But no, it was a great assist and great finish from Calvin, who, you know, came on to a game, I think, in the second half, like the rest of the team. I know you're thinking he had a good game in the first half. But yeah, I do think it was a great finish. I don't know what Sellies were all about, but it was the whole kind of kiss, blowing a kiss thing. I quite like that, though.
Just when you were talking about Tate and Spencer waking up, it's a really good switch, Dylan Tate as well, over to Ethan Williams for that. And it's those kind of long kind of switches of play that in the first half were just going straight to Motherwell player or going out the pitch, and just, I don't know what it was. It just seemed that we clicked.
It did. Just like we started playing like Falkirk.
Yeah.
It was great. It was almost like why are we sitting admiring this team when we can go out and play like we do? I see a few Motherwell supporters saying, oh, we're long ball merchants and all that. I was like, eh? I didn't see that. I thought we played some really good football in that second half. And we almost went 2-1 up straight after we scored. Big Ross, we talked about him there, a good switch, and then he takes a touch. You're then going, should he have taken the touch? Should he not just hit it first time?
No, I thought initially, can he go and just swipe it that way he's left? But then you watch it back, the pace in which the ball's rolled into him at.
Yeah.
And he needs to take a touch, and I think it's good goalkeeping from Ward. He comes and rushes his line very quickly. McKeever really doesn't have much time. I think there was just too much kind of zip on the pass to take it first time.
Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't long coming. We obviously made a couple of changes. And then in between that, Brad Spencer tried to lob the goalkeeper from 35 yards, which I love that shit. But it was miles off it. But no, hats off if it goes in. But obviously, the changes made a difference. I was surprised that Kyrell Wilson went off. Not surprised to see Alfie come on, but it was a surprise that Kyrell went off.
Again, match fitness. Kyrell obviously coming back from injury. He only had that game against Rangers and then obviously international break. So maybe just try not to burn him out. Keep him fresh. You've got a player like Agyeman who can come on and give this similar kind of service, which is the pace in behind. And, you know, Alfie this season, there was a lot of question marks when he got his contract and fans were split whether, is he good enough for the Premiership? But I really think he's proved everyone wrong. I think Hibs coming on, making a great impact. Mm-hmm. Rangers coming on, having a fantastic impact. And then, obviously, we'll go on and talk about the impact he has in this game.
Yeah, Alfie is just a secret weapon, isn't he? He's just special teams. Obviously, it's just special teams, Alfie, to come off that bench, because he just does Alfie things. He does Alfie things, and opponents don't know what's coming. Managers don't know what's coming, but Falkirk supporters know exactly what's coming, and it's just Alfie things. Happens all the time. It was great, again, a great cameo off the bench. Same with Henry Cartwright as well. I really like Henry Cartwright. You know, I wish there was a way to squeeze him into the team. You know, because he does offer so much when he comes on in terms of physicality.
He does, but that's what you need. You need someone to come on with Brad and Dylan. They're working so hard in the first 60 minutes. They're knackered. You need someone on par with them ability-wise to come on and actually, now I'm responsible to be making that burst and run forward or tracking back and making that challenge. And he takes that on. There's so many times you see Cartwright and he's tracking back, which I think goes unnoticed. He's really fast and strong to get back and cut out passes, but he's also got the same, you know, switch of play that Tate and Spencer have as well.
Yeah, I mean, Motherwell really didn't create much in that second half at all. You know, there was they had the goal disallowed, quite rightly so, for the handball. We saw it from where we're sitting, like VAR are checking this. I'm like, what? We could see it from the VAR check took ages as well for it, and we're like, you can see it from where we're sitting.
Yeah, I think Falkirk are quite fortunate that it does hit his hand, because I think it very easily could have, like, can cut off his chest or his shoulder. Motherwell players should be doing a lot better in that situation and making better contact. I think it was almost like a reverse the second half, where Falkirk with the team in control sustained pressure and Motherwell just looking like they could create half chances on the counter. And on that chance was the one time they looked like they could score.
Yeah, but that was really kind of their only effort. They had, you know, a couple of pot shots, but there was nothing really for Scott Bain much to do in that half. And then obviously we brought in the old boys. We brought on the old boys, old faithful, 36 and 30. I think Brian is now 36 and 37 year olds off the bench in Scott Arfield and Brian Graham, and the old boys did what the old boys do. They just experienced heads and they get us that second goal. Again, we talked about Alfie, just ran his arse off when he came in, did what Alfie did, just getting to that byline, sending balls in, and he did it. And Brian Graham, now, Jens Bertelascu, after the match, complained that Paul McGinn got a tug, right? There's three Motherwell players around Brian Graham, do you know what I mean? And he was complaining that it was McGinn that got a tug. Brian Graham's done so well in that situation. I mean, I don't know if he got much on it, but he certainly drew those players to him. And then Scotty Arfield's just sitting there on his Todd and just falls to him. And Scott Arfield doing what Scott Arfield does. And we've seen it so many times since he's come back to the club. Just that delicate finish. And there's no better man to have in that area in Scottish football than Scott Arfield, because if he's got space and he's got the chance to shoot, it's going in the back of the net, and it was a sensational finish from him.
Yeah, that's the great thing about Arfield, is that because like 9 out of 10 players in that squad, that falls to them, they're going to try and hit it as hard as they can, and he doesn't. He just places it. He just makes sure, I'm going to connect with this really sweetly, and that's the pace that's going to be on it, and I'll just place it in the corner and pass the goalkeeper. And as you say, Brian Graham just commanding the box. He's such a target man that two players go to try and deal with him, and it leaves Arfield open. And yeah, it was a really good ball in. Alfie, I think last season a few people were saying that he does well, but his crossing wasn't maybe on par with the likes of Calvin's or Ethan's. But I think his crossing this season has been, you know, so much improved. And it was him that went in behind to win the throw in the first place. And he beautiful ball in the box, and just an excellent goal to put us in front.
I know. There's a great picture I saw on the Falkirk Twitter of just the technique. You can see the way Arfield's hit it. He's obviously just clipped it with the top of his boot, and it's just brilliant. Just absolutely sensational stuff. And just like scenes after it, because being so shite in the first half, to come back and be 2-1 up, it did feel a bit like robbery. But I do think our second half performance deserved that.
I agree with you. I think we looked just so much more in control, and Motherwell just didn't seem to have an answer for us in that second half, which was strange considering how much they shut us down in the first half. It was really strange. It was... I mean, you said that we were maybe admiring them and standing off them in the first half, but they just seemed really complacent, as if the match was won at half time.
Yeah, they didn't know how to deal with us in the second half. you know, we just saw it out. It was great. Just we were composed, we played well, and we just managed the game so well after taking the lead, I thought, as well. We didn't, you know, it was maybe, I think at the end they got a free kick, which Elliot Watt just blazed over the bar. But aside from that, I thought our game management actually when we went 2-1 was really, really good. And, you know, with hats off to the players who, you know, were terrible in the first half, looking at you, Keelan Adams, Dylan Tate, Brad Spencer, just such a rise in levels in that second half. They must have got an absolute rollicking from John and Paul in that dressing room at halftime. I'd love to have been a fly in the wall to see what was said.
You've got to credit John and Paul because they'll have taken no prisoners in that dressing room. They'll have told them exactly what they needed to hear. Yeah. And the players that would have needed a hand, like a hand on the shoulder, would have got it. And the players that would have needed, you know, the hairdryer treatment would have got it. So, and that's what I think helps having a lot of the continuity in the squad, is that they've been in that situation before, whether it was 2-0 down against Alloa on final day of the season. They've been in these situations where they're, oh, it looks like you're down and out. But the same story is that Falkirk find a way to make it work.
It's the one thing you can say about this team, and you know, you look at the battling performances from we've been down up in the Premiership against Hibs and the likes, we've always got an answer to come back at teams. And it's great to see Rangers, you know, 1-0 down. There's not many games we've been ahead in a match, so it was quite nice to be ahead at 2-1. But we always seem to have an answer in terms of, you know, getting points from losing positions, so really, really good to see. It wasn't John McGuinn that caught up with Adam after the match. It was, in fact, Stephen McGuinn who caught up with Adam. So let's see what Stephen had to say after the match.
Stephen, an excellent result today. Maybe one that didn't look like we were going to win after that first half, but a really dominant second half performance. What do you make of it?
Yeah, obviously we were pleased to get in at half time, but we've only been 1-0 down. We were just really poor. Bits between the way we pressed the game, we didn't get enough pressure on Motherwell, but to be fair, they played very well in the first half, cut us open, and we had to be resilient getting at half time, fix things. The players also have to take on a bit of responsibility. I don't think we were brave enough on the ball. I don't think we won enough duels in the first half. I thought we got much more of that in the second half. And In a game of two halves, I thought we were really clinical in the second half.
How did that half-time team talk go for the gaffer? And
yeah, well, I mean, there's probably similarities to Tynecastle. We were really disappointed in the first half at Tynecastle. We didn't get a reaction. You lose a goal so quickly into the second half, and it takes all kind of momentum you get from having the half-time break right from the start of the second half. There, we showed an urgency. More life about us, a lot more life about us than we had in the first half, and we end up, as I said, we're very clinical, scored two good goals, but also we defended the box so long under a lot of pressure last 10-15 minutes.
Been a string of good performances so far in the Premiership, but in, you know, a lot of them struggled to get the win. Feels like this one's been coming.
Yeah, I think probably for a lot of the guys that haven't played at the level, it's getting used to how demanding it is, relentless. I mean, and the one kind of buzzword I suppose we've all really had is trying to be more consistent, which is hard. I mean, it's a really good level, playing against a good team. Coming here, we knew at times we're a team that likes to have possession. We weren't going to have a lot of the ball as much as we would want, but just that, trying to find that bit of consistency and in the league be more clinical when the chances come round.
Scott Arfield with the winning goal, how good is it to be able to bring on someone of his experience in a game like that?
Yeah, delighted for him. Probably, I mean, Gaffer always calls him the best finisher at the club, and when you're putting him on, you're almost thinking that one each, I hope a chance can fall to him. Bringing on goals, you're bringing on goal scorers, you're bringing on Scott Arfield, you're bringing on Brian Graham, you just want a decent chance to fall to one of them. As it turns out, it's probably a half chance. Yeah, I think he's got such brilliant technique, such a good finisher, and he takes the goal so well.
There you go. Not too sure where John McGuinn was, probably going to a spaddy or something like that to complete the glow up. But no, it was good to hear from Stephen there. What do you think of what he had to say, Josh?
Yeah, I think he's right about just that consistency, because why does it take for us to go a goal down to start playing? You know, we've seen that this year where we've, in some cases, controlled the game and lost out a goal, like Rangers, or we've just been completely out of it almost at half-time, like Hearts and Motherwell. But then, at least this time, we've got the reaction. And, you know, that speaks a lot about the players, that they've got that dig in them to dig out these results.
Yeah, no, I'd love to be see the McGinn family group chat after that match on Saturday. Enjoyed it. John McGinn got a good result against Spurs today as well. So one McGinn unhappy this weekend, but certainly Stephen and John will be slightly happy. And I wonder what was said after James Bertel-Askew was accusing Brian Graham of tugging at Paul McGinn.
Maybe that's why Stephen went out, is that John had no voice left after half time.
So, potentially that's probably a good reason. Or like I say, I saw him, he was in the stands again at Dens Park today for the game against Celtic, so him and Stephen McGinn were actually there. So let's hear what you guys had to say about the match. Homer's twin kicks us off by saying the first half was our worst 45 minutes for years. Hart not good enough, Adams so bad, and midfield not getting a sniff. Second half, Lisa, what a player he looked, got a tired well, and Calvin and Scotty delivered. Brilliant comeback. That's what Homer Twin's saying. Paul says, apart from the first 5 minutes, Motherwell classed us in the first half. That's pretty much what you said, Josh. Really had us chasing shadows. Players were outstanding in the second half. Just seemed to have so much more desire, confidence and composure. Whatever John said to them at halftime did the trick. William, proverbial game of two halves. Utter dog shite in the first half, but Mr. Hyde came out the second half. I had to question that. I was like, who was the goodie and who was the baddie? It was Dr. Jekyll. But Mr. Hyde was the baddie. This is Dr. Jekyll was the goodie and Mr. Hyde was the baddie. So I think he's got that around the wrong way. So it's Dr. Jekyll came out. Is that right? Jekyll and Hyde.
No idea.
Oh, for goodness sake, Josh. I think that's right. I think that's Dr. Jekyll was the goodie. Anyway, getting bogged down in that. Motherwell should have been comfortably ahead at half-time, but dug in and got out the rewards in the second half. Management got the sub spot on, especially Alfie. That's one thing you can say. I think in terms of our bench and the use of subs we've got over the last, over this season, I would actually say, it's been really, really good in terms of the game management, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if it was a tactical decision to bring on Lissa at half-time, then you've got to credit that, because there's been a few times that supporters of, you read on the forum saying, oh, too late in making subs, too late in making subs. Well, half-time, you know, the sub was made and it made a difference. I think against Rangers, the subs were made at the right time. Against Hibs, the subs were made at the right time and it changed the game. And the subs that are being made are making a positive impact. So it's the right decision's been made.
Yeah, 100%. Dex says, the great sexy football Motherwell outdone when the mighty Bairns got into their super sexy football mode. 100% right. Falkirk Central, first half, we sit back and defend. No chase, no fight really, and we deserve to be behind at the break. Maybe lucky it wasn't more. Second half was absolutely amazing and we should play like that all the time. If only it were that easy. We should play like that all the time. I do like that. I do like that, just like making them sit and watching the video of the second half. Just play like that all the time. Like that. Ian says, we benefited from a questionable decision for the first chalked off Motherwell goal. I'd see, again, James Bertel-Askew was talking about, obviously, the side goal that was ruled off, but they went and scored a couple of minutes later, so I don't think it had that massive a mark on the game.
Well, it's that old chestnut where, you know, the goal's not disallowed, then the second chance disappears because the game changes.
Yeah.
So, I don't think he can complain. But that's the thing. They said that VAR was brought in to eliminate like wrong decisions. But you look at Ethan Williams' handball against Hibs, that was harsh. And then that was against us, and this one's for us. So, you're still going to get that. Some go your way, some don't go your way.
It's the first VAR decision in the history of Falkirk Football Club that's went for us. We've only had VAR for a wee while, but this is the first VAR decision. And mark the date in the calendar, if it ever comes up, of course, it's the first VAR decision that's went for us. So, brilliant. Good to see. We're due one, because we always had the Leon McCann in this cup semi, the Ethan Williams from a couple of weeks ago as well. So, I'm glad it actually got one for us, so happy days. Ian goes on to say, looks similar to the tackle in our game against Rangers where the goal was allowed to stand. Nice to see us getting decisions in our favour after Libby and Hibs. John says, had to be our worst half of football in a long time, but the second half was full of fight and energy. Half-time sub was sensational. Everyone pulled together and everyone who came on played their part. Best player in the first half was VAR and Scott Bain. Britt says the gaffer is a total masterclass on second half subs. Think you just need till half time to suss out the other team. Well done, John. And Alan, who's a Motherwell fan, actually got in touch, said we got what we deserved. Should have finished the game off in the first half and then didn't come out in the second. Agyeman caused us so much problems and McGlynn brought Graham and Arfield on at the right time. So nice to hear that from a Motherwell perspective. In fact, I've seen a few Motherwell supporters saying we probably didn't deserve to win that match. And I probably thought maybe on the first half performance and our second half, it should have been a draw, but it's fit, boss, and these things don't happen. So, but yeah, thanks for that, Alan. And Kieran finishes off as just saying, just a massive 3 points, and that it is. Cut puts us up the table. Obviously, with Dundee's result against Celtic today, though, going into the game against Dundee on Saturday. Because I said, Josh, I said, out of these two games, if we get 4 points, that's huge. But I want to be greedy now, and I want 6 points.
I would have the exact same opinion. You thought a draw against Motherwell and a win against Dundee is what you required. But now we've got the win against Motherwell, you've got to be
greedy
for this. Yeah.
Got to be greedy now, aye. And if we do that. Right, let's go to the Falkirk Daft Rated and the Falkirk Dafty of the Week now. And let's go for Falkirk Daft Rated. First off, Josh, who do you think?
Good question. Obviously, we're different opinions with Miller, because obviously I thought he was pretty good and he got his goal.
Mm-hmm.
Lissa could potentially get it. For his impact, I'll give it to Lissa for his impact and coming off the bench, because it's a hard thing to do, and you've got what I think was their toughest player, and he dealt with him pretty well in the second half. So I'll go Lissa.
I am going to echo your thoughts as well and go for Lissa. I thought with him, he just set the tone straight away in that second half, and I thought he was really good. And like you say, coming up against Mass, when you say on that side as well, I thought he was great. And for a guy who's playing effectively as a right-footed left-back, I thought he did really, really well. So well done, Philip Lissa. I got slagged off because I kept calling him Phil. Ross, who sat beside me, saying, you're bastardising his French heritage by saying, just calling him Phil. I was like, all right, go on, big Phil. There you go, but brilliant. Well done, Phil. Absolutely fantastic performance. So you get the Falkirk Daft Rated this week. Have you got a Falkirk Dafty, Josh? Because I've got one.
Oh, I think Bertie's press conference.
Bertie's press conference could do it. But can I just put a shout out, right? And like, so there was a guy standing, right? I'm scoring so good to sound like a dad in this, but I tell this story, right? And I apologise for this, because this guy's probably a well-kent face around Falkirk, right? So anyway, there was a guy standing, okay? And we're sat down, and he's just standing at the rail, right? So part of the pitch you can't see, because he's in the way, right? So can't see, right? And I was just like... And the stewards told him to sit down, and he said, I'm not sitting down, which is rude, and you should sit down. Anyway, he was blocking my view. He was blocking a lot of people around me's views as well. So I was like, I'm going to have a word with him. I'm going to have a word with him. Total dad style, right? So I was like, that to Ross. I was like, right, mate, if it kicks off, you backing me up, aye? He said, aye, no bother. But I went and talked to this guy, and he wasn't for moving. I said, mate, I said, you intend to stay here for the second half, because I want to see Falkirk on the attack here, and you're blocking my view. You kind of jovial. Said, and then he started going, go and sit down now. And I was like, that's what I'm asking you to do. I don't know where this conversation's going. And he said he's had problems with stairs. And I was like, mate, are you kidding me? You've just come up about 4 flights of stairs to get here. And then I said, look, there's a seat behind you. You didn't even have to go up a stair. There's a seat there. And he wasn't for moving, right? I was like, mate, you're being rude. I'm not, like, so I went and sat in my seat. And I was like, oh, was like, I see, John, you're rubbish. But I would like to happily report that he did go and sit down. So John McAnally won. The guy who's standing up now in your face. And if it was you that is listening to this podcast and I had a word, I'm sorry, but you were blocking my view. And it's just rude. It's just rude. Do you know what I mean? You were asked once or twice by the stewards. I've asked you. So I'm just saying, just be a bit more considerate for those around you, supporters around you. You know, we're all part of the Falkirk family. We all want to see the game. So just be a wee bit more considerate in the future. So that's my dad's speech done, Josh. But I'm going to... Can I nominate him for my Dafty?
Yeah, you can nominate him for the Dafty.
Random man standing and blocking view is how I'm going down If you know his name, please let me know so I can just put his actual name down. But he is this week's Dafty. And if anyone has seen me approaching him at halftime and giving him a dad chat, I felt like a right arsehole. But anyway, random man standing in blocking view at Motherwell is our Dafty of the week. I should have got his name so we could have put it in here, but there you go. Brilliant. Well, that's just about it. We don't have Falkirk Daft Verses because it's just me and you today, Josh. You'll be delighted to hear. You won't get your arse handed to you, so that's not bad. But yeah, I think we won't talk about that, Josh. We won't talk about that. Oh, sorry, your mic's gone there. Oh, that's a shame. But yeah, listen, thank you very much for listening. Thanks very much to the Falkirk football fans in training who also sponsor this podcast. Get yourself down Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. You're too young for this, Josh, because you're a young whippersnapper. But yeah, they've got Elite Academy and Legend section, and they've got a new over 50 sections. Great place to get your mental health in check. Mate a lot of new good pals. And like I say, if you're fed up of your old pals, make new pals down with the Falkirk football fans in training. Get in touch with Ian, Willie or Dougie. The link is below. They're all going to be at Falkirk Daft Live on the 29th. You should be there too. The links for tickets are below. Scott McKenzie, Brian Rice and special guests will appear on the night. So get yourself down. But aye, Falkirk football fans in training, they're all going to the night as well. So you'll have a great night with them if you want to join up with them. And they're partnering up with the podcast for the third season. So thank you very much, boys. And get yourself down to the stadium Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. The link is in the bio. Josh, thank you so much for joining us. Oh, I must ask you, there was problems with Falkirk TV. Have they all been resolved? Because I did see there was problems at the weekend. What's the current state of play?
I've not heard what the issue was this weekend. I know for a fact that for the home games this season at Falkirk TV, we've been using kind of feeds from QTV.
Yeah.
But I know that there's now been investment from the board that we've now got the official World feed.
All right.
So there's been investment there, and moving forward from Dundee, we should be getting a slightly different feed, which will improve like replay angles, so that when our VAR decision goes, we now should get the actual VAR cameras as well.
Oh, amazing. That's great. That's great.
That should be TV in the next few weeks.
Brilliant. So there you go. And, you know, you'll just get it in the neck, Josh, because you're the commentator. People will just be messaging you going, what's happened with Falkirk TV? But there you go. Josh didn't know what happened yesterday when it went off after the Arfield goal, but I'm sure someone will know that. But you're back on comms again for the Dundee game?
We'll be back against Dundee, and I know for away games that wherever you're put, I know it'll be relying on a 4G signal. So if everyone starts to check their phones at the end of the game, looking at other scores, the network can sometimes go down. So away games, you're relying on a dongle. Home games, we've now got, you know, your fibre broadband, so
yeah.
Home games should all be fine.
So there you go. Whatever you do, don't go on your Wi-Fi because you'll interrupt all the people watching in Falkirk TV. So just wait till you get back to the car to listen to it on the radio and listen to Clyde One Super Scoreboard and you'll get your score. See, I did a wee plug there. So that's good. Brilliant. But listen, thank you very much for listening, watching. You can get your merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, or head over to pintsandprints.co.uk where you'll see some fabulous Falkirk Daft t-shirts there. If you want to support the podcast, why not sponsor an episode? You might be a local business out there. Let's just say you're a plumber and your name's Jimmy, and I would come on and say, get in touch with Jimmy the plumber, because he is the top man in Falkirk for all your plumbing needs. It only costs you a small amount, and I'll just plug it and talk to you like you're my best pal. So if you want to sponsor the podcast, you can do that. It's very cheap, and we're very reliable as well, much like Jimmy the Plumber. So there you go. If you are Jimmy the Plumber, get in touch, and we'll give you an advert on the show. You can do that, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk. But, oh, you're going to have to do the catchphrase, Josh. You ready for this? Right. We're onwards to Dundee. We're back with a preview show for Dundee with Jim Gellie, the new music voice of new music in Scotland. He's going to be previewing Dundee with us this Thursday. But until then, Josh.
Expected, unexpected.
Yes.
We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. Yeah.
listen in the pub, or you can listen in the bath. For Falkirk Duff, for Falkirk Duff, for everyone who's caring about being a Falkirk Bear, for Falkirk Duff.